This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, obviously, here we're closer than in 2004 to the original version of the X-Files before they screwed it up on the reboot. So, you ever think, hey, this is a real-life X-Files. I've seen this stuff on TV now. Wow.
I didn't really think of the X-Files at the time because this was real. You got to remember, I was thinking of it as more of, this is a real-life technology. This is... You know, everything went through my head other than the X-Files. You know, we all kind of joked around a little bit because we used to say the spy radar was reverse alien technology because we know, you know, there's no other radars that work like those do. And it was so advanced versus like everything else on the ship. So, with that running joke, I kind of was all like, well, maybe they're coming back to get their tech, you know?
Now, after this all happened, how long did you continue working for the military?
That was actually the last cruise I was on. I actually got off the ship after that, and I had actually got out of the military at that time. I was just at the end of my service, so just honorably discharged.
Around 2005 or 6, or also in 2004?
Yeah, it was right at the end of 2004.
Oh, interesting. Okay. We've got some questions in our forum, and I'd like to get to some of those now, if you don't mind. We've got, this is one of our fairly active forum participants, Farlig Gulstein.
I've always wondered if that's a real name or not, but let's not mention that.
He's wondering, and so there's a number of them here, and we don't have to go into super detail on them, but because some of them are basically just sort of simple, kind of almost yes or no questions. He says he was wondering, was general quarters ever sounded on the Princeton during the detection of the objects?
I don't remember if it was or not. I just honestly just don't remember if we did or not. And I know that sounds weird, but if we did, it was for a very short time. I don't remember us ever going to general quarters for it.
Okay. His second question is, another sailor named Ryan Wiegelt, part of the helicopter detachment on the Princeton, says, according to what he read, that during this episode, the Princeton actually left the Nimitz battle group and sailed to a U.S. Navy port not far away in Southern California and afterward returned to the battle group. Do you have any recollection or comments about that?
I remember we hit the port for something and then went back out, but it was like hours that we were there. We weren't even there very long.
Okay. And he also asks, are there other sailors who've contacted you guys but do not wish to be identified?
Hundreds.
Oh, very interesting. And so he asks, if so, have they added any info to the basic story?
They have constantly added because they love to tell me when I'm wrong.
Oh, that's very interesting. And we'll get some more into that because I'd like to explore what you guys are doing with your own investigative group too. We're coming up to that. Farlig also asks, have you guys been in contact with Commander Fravor yourselves? It's by the sounds of it, yes, but.
I really don't know why he hasn't. He doesn't have any interest in it. His narrative is a little bit different than ours, and due to that, he doesn't seem to really want to be associated with our group.
When you say narrative being a little bit different, where's the points of difference?
He wasn't briefed on whether or not that my tapes were taken, so he's assumed that they weren't. He's inquired in on the data itself, and they said that it was no longer around, which is the same thing they said for us, too. But then, you know, we just recently found out that that's not the case. And then he said that there was no way we could have seen, you know, them from the ship or the bridge wing and the big eyes. And during his intercept, during his little segment where he was actually up, he's absolutely right. They were too far away. But during the week, they would, you know, we would be varying distances from it. So, I mean, it really wasn't something he would have been able to know. Due to those variances in his in our stories, he doesn't want to have anything to do with us.
Oh, that's too bad in a way. But that all what you're saying also makes a certain amount of sense. Farlig also asks.
I think it's mostly just a matter of perception. You know, his event is the amount of time he was in the air interrogating these things. Yeah, the week prior, he wouldn't have been briefed on because, I mean, he himself didn't know anything about it until he was in the air. So it's like anything that happened prior to that really isn't his story. And he just kind of, I support Commander Fravor in everything that he says. And even the things that go against the things that we've talked about, I think it's just mostly his perception. So I don't really even count that as being dishonest in his part. I think it's just what he knows to be true. So that's exactly how he says it. So mm-hmm. I have zero hard feelings for the man.
Yeah, no, that makes actually perfect sense to me. It doesn't sound like you're hand waving or being dismissive or anything like that. That's a perfectly legitimate reason to be able to, you know, defend your position. Is this, you know, some people are in different positions at different times, and that's their different experiences based on that. So, yeah, no, that makes sense. That's fair. Scarlett also asks, do you know any other officers who are providing or corroborating any other information?
No, I don't. If it was an officer, they kind of stick together. They don't really mingle with the enlisted as much. You know, from a civilian perspective, you see me as military. I was a trained observer. I'm respectable. And, you know, that is not the same as the way upper chain of command looks at the lower chain of command.
When you say trained observer, what does that mean exactly to you? Is that a designation or just sort of a general term that is?
It's a general term for most people in the military because we're trained to pay attention to detail from day one. You know, any little thing that goes wrong can cause the death of people, or, you know, it could cause the, you know, catastrophic casualties or malfunctions in our system. So you have to, you know, from literally in boot camp, the term pay attention to detail is beat into your head. And so, I mean, even to this day, you know, driving around, you know, I mean, I won't be able to tell you 10 minutes later, but within 5 minutes, I'll tell you all the color of all the cars that just drove by me, what they were, how many people were inside, you know. And I know not everybody can do that, but, you know, it's something that we were, you know, it's beat into our skulls.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So this is a different sort of, context than say someone who was, trained as an observer to identify aircraft that might be flying over and to call it in kind of thing. You're just talking about a type of training that puts you into a mindset to be aware and to be mindful of what's going on at all times.
Yes, and we're also trained observers within our own spheres too. So like with me, my trained observation would be, you know, monitoring my systems and, you know, checking everything in their systems, where, you know, a pilot's, you know, training would be to identify what's around him in the airspace and, you know, what the different types of ships and everything are, and aircraft and, you know, his situational awareness. So basically the situational awareness would be different for everybody's jobs, but the trained observer part would be accurate whether you're sweeping the deck or whether you're flying a F-18 Super Hornet.
Right. Okay. So situational awareness, and this sounds more closer to the, say, if there was a spectrum between situational awareness and being trained to identify certain things in the sky, it's closer to the situational awareness side, and it would be something that would be more fluid rather than something that you would commit to memory over the long term.
Let's do our break, guys. And we'll get more into this, and also we're going to bring things up to date, what Gary's doing these days, to learn more about what's going on. With Gene, Randall, and Gary, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're still exploring what happened in 2004 and having Gary Voorhees respond to questions from one of our listeners. Any more to follow up on that?
Yes, we do have one last question. But just to complete where we left off before the break there, the reason I was asking is because it's now 2020 and there are things about the event that you say you don't remember. So I'm trying to reconcile how someone with that level of detail of memory just has forgotten things like whether or not he went on to general quarters.
It's whether it was relevant to my situation. You can, basically, you know, if a missile was coming at our ship, I definitely remember that. But if general quarters, you know, my situation doesn't change during general quarters. I'm in the same place. I'm doing the same things. So it would just be normal for me.
So there's kind of a filter that's taking place there in terms of what it is that you are going to be aware of at the same time. It's not that you're necessarily aware of everything, but you are filtering out the important stuff. Is that what I'm getting from that?
Yes. Okay. You kind of have to do it that way. Otherwise, it's too much.
Right. Okay. And the last question is from Farlig. Have you had any other experiences, whether still in the Navy or after you got out, that are extremely hard to explain?
Other than women, no.
Well, some mysteries were maybe better left unexplored. Now that you're out, you guys have also started an investigative company, like a startup, a nonprofit startup, called UAP Expeditions, to carry on the work of trying to figure out what this is. Can you tell us a bit about UAP Expeditions?
They started with Kevin Day. He had contacted me and asked me if I'd be the vice president of a nonprofit that he was going to start up. And I'm like, yeah, all right, sure. You know, because I mean, I got nothing to lose by it. So, and then, you know, I was interested in it. And then he told me what it was about. And, you know, he said he wanted to go back. And I'm like, I'm in. USOB, I'm in. You know, so we've been spending a lot of time on finding and tracking down people of like-minded interest with actual backgrounds in science and actual, you know, people that can help us, you know, lawyers and things, you know, scientists, other trained observers, people, technology companies. We've got quite a few things going on with it right now. And mostly it's just we're researching that area, that whole area we had the encounter. They've had, as long as people have been there, there's literally stories for hundreds of years of people seeing things in those same area.
Whoa, this gets even more interesting. Now, you probably know if you've read anything about UFOs, there are stories about so-called window areas that appear to attract strange events. And certainly you're mentioning one right here. Go on, please.
Yeah, so, you know, due to the overwhelming information that we're finding out that this whole area is a hotspot, and then Kevin somehow he came up with the idea that, you know, maybe it has something to do with whale migrations that they were there, and because he correlated the fact that these things were just doing kind of like a drift due south, and he's trying to figure out why it would do that, and if it was monitoring, you know, marine life, it could explain exactly why they were drifting like that. And if it were, you know, so like I said, we're trying to explore all possibilities of why these things were there, what they were, who they were, how they worked. And, you know, some guys have some ideas and other guys have other ideas. So we're just going to flush everything out until we find something.
Can you go over some of the ideas that are being mentioned with regard to what happened?
So Kevin has an idea that maybe that if they were some type of research vessels and they might have been trying to track marine life. Then we've got some other people that think that, you know, they were advanced technology, you know, some type of skunk work type thing, or black project or something like that. And then we've got other people that just want to prove their technology and are willing to, you know, come out and put their cutting edge technology on the line to help us find something out there.
Now, I'm wondering here if it was something that was ours, wherever it is, wouldn't you all have been treated differently? Or is it better to have it out there to divert attention for what might be going on?
Well, you start getting into some pretty deep questions there that we probably could talk about for hours.
Let's have a little fun with that then.
All right. Well, I'll say if it was our technology and, assuming that, we developed it ourselves, then that would mean 100% that we've had some type of cartel on technology. I mean, because there's no possible way for them to be that advanced without, not carteling technology. In my opinion, the only reason they would be doing that would be for monetary gain. There's got to be something pulling the strings at that point. Then you start getting into some, pretty diabolical plot lines.
Well, that all seems to make a certain amount of sense, though. And we've entertained the idea that it is a type of black project or secret project. And these types of projects have been known to go on in the military. All we have to do is think of the development of the SR-71 and the U-2 spy plane. And that's old tech now, but we can continue all the way up to the more modern aircraft that are out there. And people didn't know that that technology even existed. If we go back to the 50s, there was the Skyhook balloons that were up there, and there were different parts of the military that didn't know that that technology existed at all. So it is conceivable that what we're dealing with is some sort of technology that you guys just didn't know about that was being tested during your training mission just to see how well it worked.
Yeah, and I agree. It definitely could be our tech, and and then it could definitely have just with the Vanderbilts and the the very the big the high dollar guys back in the day could have literally just started a cartel on monetizing this type of technology. That's very plausible.
I'm going to ask you a logical question that flows from that in our next segment. And by the way, we have some great branded logo merchandise for the Paracast. Go to the Paracast.shop, to check it out. And we're going to have a 15% discount there using the keyword UFO at checkout. More to come with Gene, Randall, and Gary. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi plans to send two articles of impeachment to the Senate next week. In a letter to House colleagues, Pelosi says she's instructed Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to prepare a resolution to appoint House managers for the Senate impeachment trial. When it comes to a lengthy impeachment trial in the Senate, Susan Crabtree with Real Clear Politics reminds everyone.
Timing is really concerning for both Republicans and Democrats, a little bit more burdensome for Democrats. She has said that she can walk and chew gum at the same time, but she has several Democratic senators running for president, as you know, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders, and they're in the fight of their lives.
President Trump says he's closely following the protests in Iran. The president tweeted his support to the long-suffering people of Iran on Saturday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144, 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144. If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, when you talk about some other authority or whatever having this technology, have you ever heard about the so-called legends of secret space programs?
Yeah, I've heard of that. I haven't really seen much proof of it, actual proof, but I mean, you know, this could be it. You know, this could be the proof of something of that nature.
One of the ideas that we've entertained here as to what this might be is that we're not dealing with actual craft in terms of a material object, but we're dealing with a combination of radar spoofing and holographic projections. There is technology out there that can do both. So all you need to do is put it together. And if you got on enough tech behind you, like the black budgets that go into the military, it seems like it would solve a lot of the problems. Things like sonic booms. I mean, your hologram isn't going to leave a sonic boom. It's going to be visible. Radar spoofing can cause tracks to appear on your systems that aren't there, that can cause them to move. You being an expert in this, I mean, this is just stuff I'm reading online as a civilian. So I'm assuming that you probably have a lot more knowledge about that than I do. How reasonable is it to say that this is something that could have gone on? I mean, you were talking about that these systems are connected, they're remotely able to communicate with each other. I mean, how do we know that they weren't actually even inserted into your guys' systems as part of a covert test of some sort of countermeasures?
And these are actually all great questions that I actually asked myself too. And I went through them individually and saw, okay, if it was a holographic technology with radar spoofing, well, then that could definitely attain that could trick our radars. But then I run into the fact that the pilots physically saw them. You know, they were, they physically had, see them with their two eyes, and they were actually there. That's the only thing that kind of trips me up about that. And a holographic projection, even with the most current technology today, at least that I could find, really doesn't even come close to what these guys were able to see. And a lot of the stuff that you're talking about now was only developed after this. Yeah, and of course, we could be talking about unknown tech that they developed years and years ago, but they're not going to let release into the market. But it's hard for me to believe that, too much stuff could be held back without somebody finding out about it.
Oh, yeah, eventually people are going to find out about it, but it's just sort of a rule of thumb that I tend to take when it comes to evaluating UFO sighting reports is that if it's something that we could make happen ourselves or appear to happen ourselves, then it's more likely to be something that we ourselves are responsible for than it is aliens from another planet.
Oh, and I definitely agree, which is why I lean more towards a nuts and bolt aspect of it rather than aliens. You'll find I'm even hesitant to. I'll rap about it if somebody wants to say, well, if it is, well, what would you think then? And then yeah, of course, I've thought about it, but it's not what I think is going to be. I find that the most real answers are benign, and then usually if it is something strange, that the truth is usually stranger than you even wanted to know.
Because really, those are our only two reasonable hypothesis at this point. I mean, either it was some kind of alien technology or it was our technology. There's no in between there.
Not necessarily. I mean, because if you say alien, you mean, not from our Earth. One possible thought I had was the fact, the way that our Earth works with our plate tectonics. The Earth's been here for a very long time, and we've only been here a very short time on this planet. We've, with how the crust renews itself on a regular basis, it overlaps and moves, and after so many millennia, the surface of the Earth is not the same. And what happens if there was an advanced civilization that had developed prior to us? We could just be seeing the remnants of that technology.
Right. I guess I should explain myself there as a ufologist. When I say alien, I mean something that's from beyond the boundaries and constructs of our known civilization. So I don't necessarily mean interstellar or interplanetary or interdimensional or from another time, intertemporal or transdimensional or something like that. There's a whole range of other theories and ideas that are out there that some are more reasonable than others. But it could be that it's something from Earth. But if it's coming from some place that we don't know, that isn't part of our civilization, it's still alien to us. It's sort of like I go along with kind of the idea of what biologists call alien, as in alien species, as a species that comes from outside the environment in which it is found.
I wanted to drop something also in there, which is the other part of the UFO question, which is kind of reversal. People who claim to have met up with ET, some kind of higher being, or maybe were abducted by aliens. Have you guys ever looked into those things?
Well, I know personally, I keep it with a grain of salt because I've never had a personal experience with it. I don't discount them, and I don't, I stay as a skeptical believer of everything, but I know other people in the group, definitely count that more and have researched it a lot more than I have.
It seems to me that the idea of that we might be dealing with our own technology fits in with some of the details of the case. For example, one of the things that we haven't covered is that while these pilots were attempting to intercept the objects, at one point the objects jumped back to a position where the aircraft were supposed to be going, like a designated location of some kind. I know that there's a technical
term. You're talking about when it moves to the cap point.
Yeah, the cap point, exactly.
Cap point being basically just a designated area for everybody to regroup should something happen.
Right, and so the inference there was that somehow these objects knew that. And so if we go out on a limb, we could say, well, you know, what were they doing? Were they aliens that are reading our mind? Or if we think, well, maybe this is part of a covert part of your own training exercises, well, then those people would know where that is. They could set this system to go there and know exactly where it is. It removes the entire mystery from it.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that assessment. I figure there's only really three possibilities at that point. Is either A, they had advanced enough technology to where it doesn't really matter whether we encrypt something, so they could just find out exactly just from our own transmissions. B, they were psychic. Or C, they already knew because it was us.
Exactly. This is, you know, I know I don't want to, I'm sounding like I'm deflating and being a skeptic here, but we have to do that if we're going to have any credibility. And so it's really important for us to be able to consider these things. And similarly, we have sort of these mystery men that showed up. Well, it sounds like they had foreknowledge of all of this as well, because that would explain why they knew about it, came aboard, grabbed all of this information that they could, because it's all part of what they need in order to be able to evaluate what was going on during this training exercise.
We've got more to come. Final segment with Gene Randall and Gary. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
For this final segment of this week's edition of the Paracast, and I kind of feel with Gary Voorhees, we've only scratched the surface. We're going to talk to him maybe about coming back for after the Paracast, but Randall is discussing possibilities with him as to what UFOs might be. Go ahead, Randall.
Yeah, we left off talking about if it was some sort of a covert countermeasures test, that it explains a number of these curiosities, actually just about all of them, if you plug it in.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you about that. I've always been pro-skeptic. Throw whatever questions you got at me. If I got the answers, I'll tell you. If I don't, let's go down that road. Let's talk about it. You know, I try to stay very active on Twitter. I got a lot of people that are, you know, known skeptics that just pick my brain literally all day long. Your analysis of it actually is one of my hypotheses. But you also have to remember that we were tracking these things for a long time before we did the interrogation. So there very well could have been everybody completely briefed on this whole thing, and they were literally just waiting for the end of the interrogation to come and get everything.
It is a very curious and interesting story, regardless. Even if we assume that this is some sort of countermeasures that our people have, it is quite amazing in and of itself. I mean,
It denotes if we do have this technology, and this is us, that we are the literal dominant force on the entire planet.
I wanted to bring up something because it creates a logical connection. There's a fellow named James Carrion who used to work with MUFON. I'm sure you've heard of that organization. He was the director for a time. And he wrote two books, one of which I haven't even seen. The first is called The Rosetta Deception, the second, The Roswell Deception, and The Rosetta about the ghost rockets and such during World War II, and that it's something we staged to spook the Russians, and then maybe Roswell is the same thing. So if that is true, obviously one of the countries we have the most troubles with outside the Middle East is Russia. And I always wonder what they see, what they think, and if they felt or were led to believe this is advanced technology and it's ours, they'd be awful careful about the tricks they pull. What do you think?
I definitely agree with that assessment. I mean, it's been proven that pretty much every research program they did during the Cold War, they exaggerated the results. I mean, look what they did for the whole remote viewing program. You know, I mean, they literally made Russia think that we could just look in on them at any time, and it just really wasn't true.
Although there'd be probably plenty of remote viewers who would disagree with that. I'm pretty skeptical about the whole program as well. And still some interesting results, though.
From everything, because that's something I just recently started to look into. And there's been some interesting things that kind of piqued my interest, but then there's a lot of stuff about it I just kind of dismiss.
There is so much here that we still haven't gotten through. But one of the questions I want to ask you is that we found out about this footage that we see. I think that was Luis Elizondo that brought it to everyone's attention. According to a 2019 article by MJ Benias in Motherboard, he says that Luis had originally signed on with UAP expeditions, but then backed out. Why?
Other than talking to him on the phone when we did the History Channel issue, I really wouldn't know. I don't know him well enough to, well, I mean, I really don't know him, so I wouldn't have a clue to how to answer that.
But, I mean, as vice president, I mean, didn't he give you guys a reason? If he'd signed on, I mean, you'd think he would have said.
Well, he signed on. You got to remember, we're two different organizations. He never signed on to ours.
Oh, well, okay. Because you are with UAP Expeditions, right?
Yeah, I'm the vice president at UAP Expeditions.
Okay.
We're not the same as the to the Stars Academy.
No, but according to this article, Elizondo had actually signed on with you guys, but then backed out. Unless I'm reading it wrong, I could, you know, it could be just misinformation.
See, I haven't heard that unless Kevin had been talking to him. It's a possibility that Kevin could have talked to him because a lot of times I'll hear kind of after the fact that something happens sometimes.
Right. And Kevin, what we're talking about here, or who we're talking about here, is Kevin, is it Knuth or Noose?
Either Kevin Knuth or Kevin Day.
Oh, okay.
If Kevin Knuth had talked to them, I probably would have known pretty quickly. It would be Kevin Day. Kevin Day does a lot of stuff where he talks to a lot of people, and he's got a really large circle that he talks to.
Okay.
So, and he would definitely have talked to Lou, since Lou's the one that directly interviewed him.
Okay, and Kevin Day is, of course, your guys' president.
That is correct.
Okay, and you're the vice president, and Kevin Knuth, who as I was talking about, he's one of the scientists that you guys have got on board. Sounds like he's got some pretty impressive credentials there. Former scientist with NASA's Ames Research Center.
Yeah, we're very happy to have him. You know, him and, you know, like Deep Facade and, you know, some of these guys really amaze me at how smart they are. And, you know, it's like I really love picking their brains.
Are you working with any ufologists? Because one of the things we tend to be, say, critical of, especially when it comes to things like To the Stars Academy, is that they haven't really done a lot of their ufology homework. So they don't know a lot about the history. They kind of know just what's gone on in the last few years and read some books and then managed to get themselves into the spotlight. But they've made some real blunders along the way just because they're not aware of the history of ufology. So, for example, there's a ufologist, Preston Dennett, who has been studying UFOs up and down the coast of California for years. This guy is an expert on what goes on there. And so you're basically looking at all the same area that he's been studying for years. How about working with someone like that?
Definitely a possibility. I know we, between Dave Beatty and Dave Altman, those guys do a massive amounts of research about these things and are constantly calling people on the ground, calling people, you know, so it's very plausible that they've already contacted these people. And if not, hopefully when they hear this, they can get in contact with us gentlemen.
If they want more information about your organization, where can they check you out?
All right. You can find out about UAP Expeditions on Facebook and on Twitter. And, of course, most of us, especially me and PJ, if you're on Twitter or Facebook with any questions, just Gary Voorhees on Facebook and at Gary Voorhees on Twitter. You can just ask us directly.
So where are you going from here? What's your next pursuit?
Our next pursuit is to actually physically go out on an expedition in and down around San Clemente Island to do actual scientific research on the whole area, everything from environmentals to sea life to atmospheric conditions, just to try to figure out why this place is such a hot spot and see if we can't make contact.
That's the start of another 1,000 questions for us, Gary. Let me tell our listeners here, if you want to know more about where to find us, on Twitter we have the Paracast, and I keep my 244 character posts to a minimum. You can check it out there. We're on Facebook also. There are two locations for the Paracast on Facebook. One is a community, one's a group. And maybe Gary, being possibly an expert on Facebook, can tell me what the difference is and if we can merge it. We also have branded merchandise, 4 different logos, T-shirts, mouse pads, all sorts of things, blankets, fascinating stuff. Go to the Paracast.shop to learn more. And we also have the Paracast Plus. And we offer the After the Paracast podcast, where we continue interviews sometimes. We also feature William Puckett, our special correspondent, with the latest UFO cases. And we give you a version of this show, free of the network ads. And we give it to you at a higher bit rate because it's copied right off the original recording, whereas the version that's free is copied, of course, from our network. Go to theparacast.plus for more info. That's theparacast.plus. Gary Voorhees, just the beginning, I hope. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. I look forward to maybe speaking with you again if we ever can get a chance.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have 2 convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.